Right, now...
Love Talk Radio.
You won't hear her again. Okay, so that makes it much easier to talk. And now, the other thing is there any particular website, book, that you want me to refer to when I speak with you?
Well, there's my business website is foodfixkitchen.com.
Okay. And now you're also a coach, right?
Well, yes, I do. I mean, I don't work routinely as a, well, you know, I mean, I can do lifestyle and eating coaching, but I mainly do this program called Recipe for Reinvention, where I take a group of women a couple of times a year and we go somewhere like Italy and do a culinary-based trip, but it's also a week-long sort of reflection of what's happening in my life, you know, where do I want to take my life next, and kind of using food and cooking as a metaphor to, you know, create a plan for reinvention.
Beautiful. So I want to talk about that, okay?
Yeah, and I have a trip. I have a trip coming up in October to Italy, and I still have spaces available.
Wonderful. So we're going to talk about that, and I do want to talk about. And this is all coming from what was sent to me. I hope you know what. I don't know if you send it directly or from a PR firm, but they send about 4 or 5 pages. There's a lot of interesting stuff about you in it. One of them has to do with healthy college food. So I would love to talk about that if you can talk about that. Right?
Well, I opened a restaurant at Rutgers University, like a healthy dining venue, working with the Institute for Food, Nutrition, and Health.
Right. I have a feeling that you're an extremely modest person. Don't be so modest. These are very important things for people to hear about. And we're going to discuss it, okay?
Great.
And, yeah. All right, Stuart, we are ready. Stuart, wait a minute. Before I do that, I have a little confusion. Tell me the way you like, Chef Rachel is the way I know you. But
yeah.
Is your actual name Rachel Willen?
No, it's Rachel Rubin. I mean, Willen was my married name, but I've been divorced for 4 years.
Okay, so it's Rachel Rubin. Okay, now we're ready,
right.
Stu.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And boy, we have one of our really fun shows. I know you've been writing me and saying enough already about bone density. Let's talk about something else that's fun that has to do with successful aging. And indeed, this is the only show in the whole country, I don't get it, I must admit, that deals with the phenomenon of our longevity and aging. And I am so pleased to bring you all kinds of guests that relate to exactly that. Now remember, aging starts at age 30. It has nothing necessarily to do with geriatrics. It starts when you're born, I guess. But the kind of aging we mean, where we have to watch out so that we maintain ourselves, starts at about 30. And today we have with us Chef Rachel. Now, we're going to have a real journey with her because she does retreats where people find themselves through culinary efforts. Of course, you may have seen her on Chopped. Chef Rachel will give us the inside story on what it feels like to be on Chopped and what they're really doing behind the scenes there. I got a couple of questions there. And we're also going to talk about your kids and your grandkids as they go to college. They call it, you know, the sophomore five, the freshman five. They go in. Sometimes they call it the freshman 15, which is what happened to my son. They go to college, and the next thing you know, they look like an Oompa Loompa. So we're going to be speaking with Chef Rachel because she was actually on the front lines of opening up a good kind of kitchen in a major university. I mean, there's no end to what we'll be talking about with her today. So first thing I want to do is thank you for being with us, Chef.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Now, you know, most of us are upfront and personal with chefs because we watch TV. And what we generally see is chefs yelling and screaming. And then a whole bunch of people saying, yes, chef, yes, chef. So tell me, is that the way it really is? I mean, is there so much chaos and aggression in the kitchen? It seems an anomaly. Cooking seems to be such a benign and gentile art, we'll say. But you tell me, is that what happens?
Well, when I teach cooking classes, especially with children, the first thing I tell them is, you know, chef is a French word, and it's really just the French word for chief. And so I'm going to be the chief in the kitchen, and so that means you have to listen what I'm telling you to do, because cooking can be dangerous. There's fire, there's knives. And so I'm going to be directing you, and you've got to listen to me. So that's all it really means, is that, you know, running a kitchen. And yes, there is a lot of chaos, not at home. I mean, even at home, a lot of people say to me, oh, I can't handle cooking. It's too chaotic. It's messy. There's too many things going on at once. So to be a chef is to be in charge of all these different elements that are going on at the same time. And when it comes to running a restaurant where time is of the essence and people are waiting for their food and, you know, things can get burned or overcooked and time is really an issue, tempers can flare, things can get pretty heated and I think that's why you've had this history of volatility with chefs and egos, you know, just because you're under a lot of pressure in a very
and a
short
lot of time
period
pressure.
Of time.
Yeah,
yeah,
now let's talk about time pressure for a minute. You know, I know you've been on Chopped. I think people want to hear about that, but I have a specific question about Chopped and time. Because I've been on TV and I've hosted my show. And every time I watch Chopped, which is a lot, I notice the judges are making decisions. And those decisions seem to be made in a heartbeat. They talk with each other in a minute, and then, you know, they say, yes, we've made a decision. What's real there? After you've given them your plates of food and they've tasted it, do they go off stage and make decisions, talk with each other? How are they really making those decisions? How long does it take? Is it all edited and cut, or what's the scoop?
People always ask me that. Now, the one thing that is really true to, you know, real time is the actual competition. Like, you know, if you have 20 minutes to do an appetizer, the clock goes off, and that's real. You have 20 minutes from start to finish. They don't stop the clock. They don't, you know, try to get better camera angles or retape things that have gone awry, you know. So the competition aspect of it is in real time. The judging, you're correct in saying that it's a much longer process that gets edited down to make it look like it happens within a 5-minute period. So, you know, in the first round, there's four contestants. We each present a dish, you know, but they go one contestant at a time. So they may taste my dish, the three of them, talk about it. They may talk with me for 20 minutes about the dish. How did I do it? What did I do it? What was my idea for it? And out of that 20 minutes, they're rolling the camera and they're getting, you know, sound bites and they end up editing that down. Then my dish gets cleared. And then, you know, the next chef comes out with their dish, and the dishes are being kept under heat lamps. But the judges taste the dishes, all of them, you know, at once at the beginning, but then they come out again and they're kept under heat lamps. So each contestant has about a 10 to 20 minute interview about their dish with the judges, and then they make the decision, and then that's all edited down. And then as each round there's less chefs, you know, that process gets shorter and shorter.
It takes less and less. All right, so now we know behind the scenes. Now, before we go on to some of the things that can help our listeners in their food life, because you talk a lot about soaring obesity rates and, you know, epidemic status of degenerative diseases and how that is impacted by the food we eat. One more thing on Chopped. How do you get chosen? I mean, there are lots of chefs out there. You're Chef Rachel. But how did it happen that you got on the show?
Well, they maintain a website where you can go and apply. And then I think based on your application and whether or not you have an interesting story that might, you know, I mean, they're looking for people with things. Stories. And I guess mine qualified because I went to culinary school in my 50s, and at the same time that my son went to culinary school. And
it's Chef Max, by the way, right?
Yes, right. And I sort of reinvented myself and started this cooking school, you know, in my 50s. And so that was, and my son was a chef too, and was working for a very famous chef at the time. So that was kind of an interesting story. And then they brought me in for an interview, an on-camera interview. And then they're looking for people who don't, you know, freeze up on camera, who can actually talk. And I guess I qualified for that. And so, you know, they cast me on the show. I think, you know, it is television. They want, you know, people with good stories and an ability to put that story across.
Yep, and, you know, just a word about Chef Max for those of you. This is kind of a personal thing. Chef Max, her son, is now at the Broadmoor Resort in Colorado, a beautiful place. He's really,
yes.
He's been a chef all over the place, per se, the French Laundry, but he started at Danny Meyer's Modern. That was one of the places, and I was, and my husband and I were one of the first people who ever walked into Danny Meyer's first restaurant in Union Square area, Manhattan. And he was a young kid, and we were young, and we said, hey, this guy's going to go somewhere. And boy, we knew
yeah.
what we were eating. No, I'm not sure, but we knew it was delicious. So this is big stuff. In a couple of minutes, we're going to go to our first break. But just for the moment, how do we find you? You do have a cooking school. We're going to be talking in our next segment about your wonderful retreats, one coming up in Italy, the cooking school you have, the Food Fix Kitchen. Tell everybody how to find more information about you, Chef Rachel.
The best way to read more about me and find out about my services and my classes and my retreats is to go to my website, which is www.foodfixkitchen.com. So that is spelled exactly like it sounds, foodfixkitchen.com.
And we're going to be back in just a couple of seconds, and we're going to talk about those retreats. I'm personally going to Barcelona myself on a walking retreat. Everybody has their own way of relaxing, refinding themselves, rebooting their lives, let's say. And for women particularly, I don't want to be anti-feminist here, but there seems to be this great camaraderie, particularly in our baby boom women that I talk to all the time and mature adults, of getting together. But I would say that overcooking, more and more men and women are getting together to refine themselves and retreat. So don't go anywhere. We're going to cook together. We'll be right back.
And
I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, we're off the air now. They're putting in the commercials. So you see how quickly it really goes, right?
Right.
And it's fine. And what we're going to do, by the way, at the end of each segment, there is that music. And I know when it's coming on and you don't. So what I generally do is I cut in and make sure that I'm talking. And
okay.
If you hear music, just don't talk over it. or finish, because sometimes you're saying something so important that I really don't want to cut in. So if you hear music starting, that's okay. Just finish your sentence or your thought, and we'll go out. Okay. All right, we're going to start with the retreats, but I also, you mentioned something about children, so you must give children lessons, and I want to talk about that too, okay?
Okay.
Good. So we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it. Doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. We have a culinary superstar with us. You might have seen Chef Rachel, Chef Rachel Rubin on Chopped. But part of her superstardom in my eyes is what she just revealed to us, that she actually has what she calls a good story, because she went to culinary school at the same time as her son did, and she was in her 50s. So, you know, we talk about reinventing yourself all the time here. That's really the baby boomer mantra right now. We first, a part of our life, we reinvented the world. Second part of our life, we reinvent ourselves. And listen to this. I'm just going to read this right from what Chef Rachel of FoodFixKitchen.com says about herself. My goal is that you will eat better, cook better, and live better by knowing me and have a blast doing it. That's very moving. And one of the ways she does this is she has retreats with folks. So thank you again for staying with us, Chef Rachel, and tell us a little bit about these wonderful-sounding retreats.
Well, it kind of happened serendipitously. I saw an ad for a company called Delectable Destinations.
Okay.
I can't remember, in a magazine somewhere. And I thought, you know, and it was all culinary-based trips, these beautiful, like, intimate, luxurious trips. And I decided to call them up and see if they wanted to have a real chef along on some of their trips, you know, to be a guide or just, you know, be an added value to the trip. And lo and behold, I met the woman who runs this wonderful company, and it was like we knew each other from another lifetime or something, and we became great friends. She invited me on a trip right away, and then since then we've been doing these trips together, and I call them Recipe for Reinvention, based on a talk that I've done around, you know, the tri-state area, where I use food and cooking as a metaphor for reinvention, and I take people through basically finding out what the ingredients and the instructions are for their own personal recipe for reinvention, and how they can stir up their own lives and, you know, make the rest of their life into a delicious feast. So that's a lot of
metaphors,
but
food metaphors run rampant, but you know what?
Right.
You're going to Italy, I think, next. And tell us a little bit
yes,
about the trip itself and how to find out the details of it.
Okay. The trip is a women's retreat, and we take anywhere from 6 to, you know, 10 women. It's very small, intimate, because what I really like to have happen on these trips is that we come together as strangers and we leave as lifelong friends. We really get to know each other. The trip itself is in October in Tuscany, from October 6th to 13th. We stay in a gorgeous, luxurious villa just outside of Florence in the Chianti region. And the trip is focused on cultural and culinary experiences that are very curated, intimate, We'll do a day of going to the markets and cooking. We'll do truffle hunting and go to vineyards and go to a special alpaca farm where they make cashmere, and we'll taste artisanal cheeses, and we'll have dinners in a local home. We'll do a night of cooking with me. And then all throughout the week, every morning we'll have a session, a recipe for reinvention session that may include meditations or exercises that will kind of stir up conversations and ideas and inspirations for reinvention.
Well, you know, this sounds wonderful. I have to say that I'm a big fan of this kind of travel. I love travel,
yeah.
And the people who listen to the show love travel. So we'll give you, again, how to find the details of this in a moment. But I have gone on many, many retreats for reestablishing, rebooting. There's a group called Reboot Your Life. Personally, my walking tours, which come up in Barcelona in May, that I go on, they're not my tours. Everybody can go to freewalkers.org, freewalkers.org. That's a nonprofit where we get together to walk. This weekend, we'll be walking 50 miles around the Potomac in Washington, D.C. Yes, in the cold. Yes, it starts 3 a.m. No, you don't have to go. But the point is that when you stretch yourself this way, it makes an incredible difference to your aging success. And I want to bring out that these kinds of retreats are an element of successful aging. They're not just travel. And it doesn't matter how old the people are. They can be 12 years old on this trip, 112 years old. The intergenerational nature of it is also a wonderful thing. So for those of you who were salivating. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree because, you know, for instance, on the last trip I did in Amalfi, you know, most of the women were 55 plus. But then we had one woman who was 35. And she had just, you know, her marriage of 9 years had broken up, and she was kind of just searching for what was next for her. And it was a great intergenerational interplay. So I agree. Any age is appropriate, but certainly women of our age are searching for that, you know, reinvention and that ability to stretch and stay young and stay neuroplastic.
No question. So tell us again how to find the information.
You can go to my website, foodfixkitchen.com, and just click on services and at the top. And under there, you'll see a link to my trip page and all my different services.
All right. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the health aspects of this. And, again, a deep and very, very moving story of how Chef Rachel Rubin of Chopped, you may have seen her on Chopped, really got to understand the soul helping ability of food. The fact is that she grew up in a home where her mom had for 3 years been in a Nazi concentration camp. She had been in hiding for many years. And that appreciation, that deep appreciation of food as a metaphor for life, as well as a practical way of sustaining life, both was brought home to her by her own mother. And there's nothing that's more moving than understanding your own mother and living a life that honors her. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're going to talk about your grandkids and why they gained 15 pounds the first year of college. We'll be talking about all of these things in our next segment. Now, for everybody else, please do go to generationboldradio.com, generationboldradio.com, and tell us what you'd like to hear about on the show. The show belongs to you. We'll be right back.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, now we're going into our next to last segment.
Okay.
Okay, very good. And obviously, we're going to talk a bit about your mom and about, you know, your journey. And then I want to talk about Rutgers. because I am fascinated by that myself. My kids really did gain 15 pounds.
Yeah.
All right, so we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Let me step back for a moment before I reintroduce you to our wonderful guest today. This is a nationally syndicated show. We're heard in all over the country, many places. Just turn on your radio, Texas and Florida, in Fresno. So we welcome all of those stations. In addition to that, there's a free app. Yes, there's an app for this. You go to BizTalk, BizTalk, BizTalk Radio, and you'll get your free app, and you can listen to the show every single Saturday night in some stations, mostly at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday mornings. But you can also hear all of our past shows. We've been on now, I guess, about 3 years or more, which is archived on our website, and that is GenerationBoldRadio.com, GenerationBoldRadio.com. If you do go to that website, GenerationBoldRadio.com, you'll see something that says Ask Adrienne, and you can ask questions about successful aging because we have a network of experts unlike any other. I'll give you one example right now. Very different from the show we're doing. Last week, the bipartisan committee, yes, there is such a thing where Democrats and Republicans actually talk to each other, bipartisan committee on health care, focused on chronic care, meaning Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, long-term chronic needs, very expensive. Many people become impoverished because it's not covered by Medicare very much, and Medicaid is a poverty program. So you're mostly paying it out of your own pocket. Well, there are some new thoughts on what to do about it, and I was honored to be invited to go and to hear what the bipartisan legislature committee was doing, the people who were doing the research were doing, Leading Age was doing. One of our wonderful past guests, Ann Tumlinson, was the moderator of this and invited me over. So we get to hear things that nobody else hears. As insiders in journalism, in a very narrow field of aging. Now, we, of course, think it's not such a narrow field. We believe that aging takes place all over, from your money to your health to your lifestyle to your love affairs to your kids to your grandkids and everything else in the universe. So we are very unique. We have a wonderful band of experts to call upon, what I call the Golden Rolodex. So if you have a question or you want to hear a particular guest on aging that relates to it in any way, including guests like wonderful Chef Rachel, who's an inspiration because she started this incredible career in her 50s. So beyond anything else she has to offer, she is already a role model for all of us. Let me know by going to GenerationBoldRadio.com. Now, back to Chef Rachel. I ended our last segment with a little teaser, they call it. You've had quite an experience as a child. Everybody knows that if you have a parent who is a survivor of the Holocaust or any other traumatic thing in their life, it affects the kids. And one of two things can happen: big problems or big breakthroughs. And in your case, big breakthroughs. So tell us a little bit about this food-related upbringing you had with your mom.
Just trying to make sense of my own sort of obsession with eating well and eating healthy, because really I started this journey of eating organic and eating healthy when I was in college, when I was, 18 or 19, and I started having some health issues. I was really just trying to control my weight, at the time. But I think that it did stem from my mother and her illnesses. When I was very young, she was sick a lot, in and out of the hospital, and most of her health issues were related to this severe malnutrition that she experienced during World War II when she was interred in a Nazi concentration camp for close to 4 years. And then she escaped and she was in hiding and working with the French underground for an additional 3 to 4 years. So that all that, those years of malnutrition, I mean, she lost all her teeth. She was, you know, she had a lot of health issues. And so I think that that turned me into someone who wanted to control that in my own life, you know, that I really got focused on eating well and taking care of my body and giving myself the proper nutrition. I got involved very early in the organic movement. I remember when my son was a baby, I would drive 2 hours out of my way to find organic hot dogs to feed him, or, you know, going to these like little hippie health food stores at the time. It was nothing like it is now, where there's a Whole Foods on every corner, or you can buy organic things in like 7-Eleven. So, you know, it was a much different world back then. You had to really make it, make an effort to eat well and eat organic. And so I'm pleased to say that the culture and the world has changed significantly due to consumer demand, because it has nothing to do with legislation, it has nothing to do with the will of big corporate food businesses who would rather sort of poison us and have us eat cheap processed food, but the consumers themselves and their will and their purchasing power of the baby boomers has turned the food landscape into what it is today, with Whole Foods popping up everywhere and every grocery store having an, you know, organic and natural foods readily available, at least in the Northeast and the West Coast and major urban areas.
Actually, you know, I travel the United States, and I'll tell you, I've seen incredible changes all over in people's kitchens, in what they're demanding. You can really not even go anywhere, whether it's a small town, whether it's a big city, or whether it's rural. Where I live rural, where you don't have organic and you have farmers markets. And let me just say one thing, really, from the aging point of view that most people don't even know. I hope you all know that most governments, and that would be federal, state, local, have some kind of program for seniors where they will give you what we used to call food stamps, but now it's fancy, so nobody feels like they're on the dole, to buy at a farmer's market. We think about food stamps and things for seniors as, oh, you know, you're going to go in and get canned goods for a little cheaper or for free because you're a senior at a supermarket, the kind of food you're talking about. No, there are organic entitlement programs run by the government, mostly through your county Department on Aging. So if you want fresh fruit, if you want fresh vegetables, if you want organic, call your county Department on Aging and ask them what their fresh food program is. I just volunteered last week at a food pantry. Nothing to do with aging. It was for everybody. But it was fresh food. So please go ahead and know that what Chef Rachel is saying about how we're voting with our feet, it's not just for people with a ton of money who can buy expensive organic food. No, this is for everybody, and that's how it's infiltrated, that we even have it in our government aging programs, and I'm so proud to be one of the few people who knows about it and tells people about it. So that's great. Now, you know, it sounds like your mom was a wonderful woman with an incredible experience, and maybe she's a great guest too. She can write her memoirs. But I see how this translated through you to college. Yeah. And I wasn't kidding that 15, the freshman 15 or freshman 5, depends on who you are, where they just gain weight. But what did you do about it? You did a lot about it.
Well, I was honored to be sort of recruited to help conceive and start a dining venue at Rutgers University cooperation with their new Institute for Food, Health, and Nutrition, and they had a brand new multi-million dollar building at the New Brunswick campus, the Cook campus, which is kind of the agricultural campus. And inside the building, they had a space for a restaurant, and they wanted that restaurant to reflect the mission of the research institute. Was and the mission of that institute is to combat these lifestyle based degenerative diseases like obesity and diabetes and heart disease and cancer through lifestyle and diet. So because that kind of eating, this farm-to-table organic cooking was my wheelhouse, I was recruited, and I...
We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to hear more about this, and then I'm going to make a revelation of a lifestyle. Don't miss that one.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, unbelievably, we're at our last segment. You said, oh, you know,
okay.
It sounds so long. Well, we're finished. So we got to get it all in now. What I'm going to do is I want to just hear a little bit more about this Rutgers.
I'll keep it short.
In my kid's life. But then I'm going to make the revelation of a lifetime. I'm not telling you what it is.
All right, sounds good.
I'm going to surprise you, and then you're going to help. Okay?
All right.
All right, Sue, we are ready. Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, 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 and I am going to make the revelation of a lifetime. This is Adrienne Berg. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. If you don't know me, you will know me in about 30 seconds when I tell you something that only my nearest and dearest know. I'm here with my wonderful guest, Chef Rachel. You've seen her on Chopped, Rachel Rubin. She is the founder of FoodFixKitchen.com. She's the leader of beautiful trips. They sound mouth-watering. And they also help you reboot your life. And the next one is going to be in October in Italy. And for those of you who want to know more about that, that's foodfixkitchen.com, and you'll get all the information. She's also, aside from being a TV star from CHOP, she started was asked at Rutgers University, major university in the state of New Jersey, to create a kitchen for the students there so that they could understand good habits. And right before my big revelation that I want to talk to her about, and I teased her, I didn't tell her, she doesn't know what I'm going to say. Just tell us a little bit more about the what's going on in the university and how it's helped the students.
Well, so we ended up starting a farm-to-table restaurant there called Harvest, that is still operating in the Institute for Food, Health, and Nutrition building on the Cook campus. And it was all-from-scratch cooking, which is very unlike college dining, as you well know. Even my own daughter, who went to Tulane University, complained the first year she was there and said, Mom, I realize now how great you fed me all these years and how clean and how delicious your food was. And now I'm eating crap and I hate it, you know, because of these college dining services that are, you know, just mass produced food that's processed and frozen and fried. And so at Rutgers, we created a from scratch restaurant with all whole grains, all hormone-free meats, organic wherever possible, and freshly made soups from scratch. So this was like a revelation in terms of college dining. And it is a trend, especially across Ivy League schools like Harvard and Princeton and Stanford are all doing this kind of thing, trying slowly to change the way college kids view food and to start to teach them, you know, to eat well and to know what they're putting in their bodies, and hopefully eventually to combat that freshman 15. But it's difficult. You know, most colleges have a very lucrative contract with soda companies and and food companies that, you know, and for instance, our restaurant at Rutgers Harvest, we were the only dining area on campus that did not have a soda machine, and we had to fight for that because
it was very interesting. I was in Thailand at Bumrungrad, which is a very, very important medical tourism site, one of the most renowned hospitals in the world in Thailand. And when you walk in, there's a McDonald's. And I got to interview the president, and I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "Look, it's money." So
it's money.
What can I tell you? Now, the big revelation, and this, I want everybody to listen to this, and I'm not exaggerating. I cannot cook. Now, but this goes more than that. I have never cooked. The only thing I've ever made in my entire life is toast. And then when I discovered Vans, which is a kind of an Eggo type of thing, but it's organic, supposedly, gluten-free, it's not organic, I could make that in a toaster. I have never held a pan. I have never put on a stove. I know I may be the only person that ever lived. My son asked me the other day to get him something, and he said it was across from the stove. And I thought the stove was the dishwasher. There is something wrong with me. Have you ever, and I know there's a television show, you were on Chopped. There's a television show called The Worst Cooks in America. And I watched that show, and I think they cook just fine. They know how to turn the stove on and everything. I can open a refrigerator, and I can open a freezer. Have you ever on your retreats come across somebody who just could not cook? I don't know why.
Well,
what's wrong
with you? I've had people in my classes who grew up, you know, in environments where their mother didn't cook, you know, and they because of career or whatever, or because of prejudices that have sort of come up through feminism, that, you know, that kind of work is drudgery, or it's considered, you know, passé for women to be focused in on the kitchen, And there's a lot of women who don't know anything, and men who don't know anything about cooking. And I think it's actually a calamity in our culture right now, because it's a very basic self-care skill. I mean, feeding yourself. Like, can you think of any society or tribe or group of people that would be able to thrive and propagate if they didn't know how to feed themselves? And so right now, we in our culture, we have handed over that responsibility to corporations, to other people to feed us, and we're not taking responsibility for what the ingredients are, how it's prepared, what goes into it, and we're ending up, and that and then we have what we have today, which is an environment with 50% higher obesity rates in adults and children, growing even faster, and, you know, diseases like heart disease, diabetes, cancer, those rates are soaring, they're epidemic, and they're becoming epidemic in younger and younger people. And the reason for that is, bottom line, that people are not cooking for themselves and they're not taking responsibility for what goes into their body.
So I want everybody to know that Chef Rachel Rubin is right. My whole life and my whole career is based on longevity and growing longevity. And for our children and grandchildren, we may be going backwards. And if we are going backwards in longevity, it's all because of obesity and diabetes. So I have decided, and it's obvious, to take some responsibility for myself, because if my husband wasn't around or the restaurants closed, I would starve to death. And that is no joke. So I thank you so much. I want everybody to go to foodfixkitchen.com, and I'm going to get myself in shape so I can go on a retreat and not be ashamed and embarrassed. And you guys get out there, kids, and make it happen. See? Didn't that go fast?
That went fast.
How fast?
Yeah, I hope I didn't come on too evangelistic, but that's
That's what we like. Passion. We want passion.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't that cool? I thought
it
was great.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank
so you.
You
know what happens. You can use it for any promotion you want. You can put it on your own website if you want. It's going to be on the front page of our website on Wednesday coming up. And then it's basically
what's the
archived.
Website? And how would I get a copy of it or
well,
post a copy
of
it? Just post the link.
Yeah, you can post a link. Stuart, the question is how to post. Now, that's beyond my pay grade. I'm going to give you over to Stuart.
No, I mean, that's fine. I can just
she wants to
post
a link on her website to it.
Wednesday.
It'll be on the front page of our website, which is, and Stuart will send you the link.
Okay, perfect.
He'll send it to you, okay? So you'll be able to use it in any way you want. Is that good?
Yeah, great. Yes.
Great. Thank you very much. This was terrific.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you. Take care.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Excellent show.